It's the weekend. You can do anything you want. Volunteer at a homeless shelter. Work on a peace plan for the Middle East. Invent something truly useful like a machine that solves climate change while also picking up after your dog. But no, you've decided to spend your precious time on Earth listening to a bunch of white men talk over the top of each other. The world may be burning, but this is your me time. Welcome to Radio Chaser Platinum Edition.
Yes, welcome to the weekend and to the Platinum Edition of Radio Chaser. Dom Knight here with Charles Firth and Andrew Hansen. In the show today, we're going to take a look at Australia's missile program. Are we sure we've got one, guys?
Well, no, this is the thing. They want us to have nuclear bombs.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun.
Would you trust our government with nukes?
Hey, Donald Trump's got them, I suppose.
Well, do you? As long as we use them against New Zealand, I don't see any problem at all.
Speaking of our government and violence, the Liberal Party brawl we will recreate for you. And this is an amazing story. Seven's got a huge problem coming up this summer. They've got cricket and tennis at the same time on the same channel.
Whoops. A bit of a clash. They didn't check their diary.
I don't know. Tennis and cricket together, I reckon it will improve both of them.
That's all coming up right here on Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
It's back in the news, the idea that Australia should have nukes. That we should have nuclear weapons.
Why? Why should we have nukes?
Because it's a great idea. Because according, it's going to make us all safer, Chad. Because according to the guy who's written this book, he said that we would have an even more independent foreign policy if we had nukes that we could blow the shit out of everyone.
Look, Malcolm Turnbull's been on the phone this morning trying to get the head of Optus to fix things so he can watch the World Cup. If he can't fix that, I think we probably shouldn't give him deadly weapons.
You look at the state of the NBN. You've got to wonder how fast our
That's
nukes
true.
Are going to travel.
We wouldn't be able to fire them. He'd be going, fire, defend Australia. And be like,
we shouldn't be too negative. We shouldn't be too down on the idea of having some Aussie nukes. I think it could work quite well. In fact, some of them are available for sale right now at a trade fair.
Welcome to the Australian stand at the Defence Expo. How can I help you?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'm looking to acquire high-tech hardware for the US military. Wait, sorry, did you say Australia?
Oh, yep. Australia's known for its high-tech companies. We've got Holden, Dick Smith, Brash's Music Stores.
Yes, well, I'm only interested in high-tech arms.
Well, if it's high-tech you're after, you can't go past this little beauty. The surface-to-air anti-Mozzie ballistic missile. You just look through this bifocal night vision scope.
That looks like two empty toilet paper rolls stuck together with sticky tape.
Yep, that's right. And you identify your target and the Mozzie won't know what's hit it.
Did you say Mozzie? Is that short for Muslim?
No, mosquito. We call them the terrorists of the night.
What about this device?
Ah, yes. It's a bit like a drone. You launch it in the air like this, then using the high-tech X-ray vision, you identify the roof possum in this video console.
Roof possum?
Yeah, look, I know what you're thinking. It's totally illegal to target native roof possums. So what you do is you flick this Snapchat filter, and it makes the possum look like they're a heavily armed terrorist.
Oh, yeah!
And then you just press this button. Possum problem gone.
That is awesome. I will buy $3 billion worth.
It's a deal. Now, our FPOS minimum is actually $5 billion, so do you have cash?
Radio Chaser. Platinum Edition.
Yes, it's now time for our quiz show, which is called...
which is called...
Performance Art or A Person from Florida.
Right, so we came up with this quiz because in Hobart, a performance artist has just spent the last 72 hours buried underneath a roadway. And he's just been lifted out of it, and that's art, right?
Best hotel in Hobart, from what I've heard.
And it got us thinking, what is the difference between performance art and, you know, those stories that you hear about people from Florida doing stupid things?
Yeah. Anyway, so a bit out of control.
This is the quiz. So, Chaz, your first quiz.
Yeah.
In 2012, a man buried a journalist up to the head in concrete. Was that The work of a performance artist or a Florida man?
Okay, I think that is a performance artist because a Florida man would have shot the journalist.
Incorrect. William Cormier was so desperate for money that he killed Sean Douglas by burying him up to the neck in concrete.
How does
so
that get you money?
So he could steal $100,000 worth of fantasy role-playing cards.
There's got to be an easier way.
I thought the man was a journalist and that just Donald Trump had ordered it or something.
They got to crack down on concrete in America, I mean.
Okay, now.
No concrete in schools.
Concrete doesn't kill people. Performance artists do.
Okay, question two, Andrew.
Yes, yes.
A man stole a dead fetus from a medical school and ate it. Was that a performance artist or a Florida man?
Oh, no. I'd hate to think. I don't want it to be either one. I want it to be fiction. I want that to be not true.
Yeah, not a thing that we talk about on our comedy show. Yeah. Great,
don't tell me. Was it performance art?
It was performance art. In 2000, Chinese performance Zhu Yu stole a dead fetus and ate it.
That's far too nutritious for a Florida man.
And I look forward to this conversation appearing in the Australian Cut and Paste very soon. Yep.
Okay, and finally, Dom, last question.
Yep.
A man implanted a camera in his head so he could see everything. Like in the back of his head.
That's real, isn't that what Snapchat's trying to do? That's definitely performance art.
That is correct. That was an NYU professor in 2010.
Was the camera pointing outwards or inwards?
No, it was panning. It was behind, like in the back of his head.
Like a rear view, like you do on a bicycle.
I think it was just because he wanted to see the kids behind him shooting, you know, things at him.
I got
to
say, Charles, congratulations! You have found three performance art things that are a worse idea than getting buried for 72 hours under Hobart traffic. Radio Chaser
Platinum Edition. The poor Liberal Party. No, look, I don't know if you've seen, but they had this little Liberal Party branch meeting, you know, one of those pissy little sort of factional local things. A Liberal Party branch meeting erupted in a brawl, apparently. It doesn't sound very Liberal Party to me.
It's fantastic. I might actually join the Liberal Party. If they're going to punch each other in the face, I want to be in the room to watch.
This is the Arncliffe branch, I think, of the Liberal Party.
Is that like the Comancheros, basically? Liberal Party or something? I mean,
but I don't know what's going on. Because
the commerce degree Cheros.
If there's one thing about the Liberal Party in the last 15, 20 years, it's that all the violent, brutal behaviour should be directed towards refugees, not towards each other.
Yeah, it's crazy. But look, it's actually not unusual. I mean, this sort of thing actually happens at these Liberal Party meetings all the time. I was at one the other day and it was an absolute bloodbath.
Lords, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to call this branch meeting of the Liberal Party to order. Item one on the agenda tonight, destroying the ABC with a nuclear missile. Item two...
Excuse me, Michael.
Yes?
This champagne you poured me, is it Dom Perignon?
Yes, I think so.
It is most unpalatable. I prefer the Krug Private Cuvée.
Just drink it, Bernard. It's $8,000 a glass.
Glass? I'll glass you with this champagne flute.
Ow! That went all over my double-breasted suit, you dreadful jackanapes.
Guard your tongue, sir, or I shall strike you with my share portfolio.
If you do, I shall strike you with this rolled-up copy of The Australian. Oh, did you just strike my Botox-enhanced face with your Louis Vuitton glove?
Yes, Michael. I challenge you to a duel. Same as when we were Cranbrook boys.
But when we were Cranbrook boys, we settled arguments with a hand shandy behind the Oval.
Yes, but then Tony Abbott taught me to be a true conservative by punching the crap out of people.
Ow! I'm going to hit you right in your investment properties!
No! I'm going to privatise your power grid!
Gentlemen, enough of these fisticuffs. We Liberals don't have pub brawls.
True, but this is a Michelin-star restaurant. Let's call an election now, everyone. We've never looked more in control.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition. Bit of a disaster for Channel 7. Remember they picked up the cricket rights.
Yeah, huge news.
Huge 6-year deal. Unfortunately, they didn't get rid of the tennis rights in time. There's actually a 1-year overlap. And they have been negotiating with Channel 9 to actually take the tennis rights so that they can fit all the cricket in.
Mm.
But it turns out Channel 9's just gone, nah, you can have both of them. So they're going to have one year where they've got to play both the tennis and the cricket at the same time. And it's just a complete, you know, cluster.
I'm thinking split screen. How good would that be?
Anyway, they've rolled out their first promo. I don't know whether it's a good idea.
This summer on Seven, all the tennis and all the cricket in the one place.
Djokovic serves to Andy Murray and, he's hit the ball way out of the arena.
What is this?
Oh, well, the umpire's put his arms above his head and it's gone for six.
Our contractual obligations require us to broadcast both the tennis and cricket at the same time.
Mitchell Marsh comes up to bowl to Chandamal and there's an enormous net on the pitch and the ball has hit the net.
Every ace bowled, every serve hit for a boundary.
The umpire is saying it's a lead. It will have to be re-bowled. That's advantage Sri Lanka with just one ball to be served.
All the players you know and love.
Oh, no, but Bancroft is trying to sandpaper his racket. And the score moves to 3-40 love or 15 sets.
Seven's summer of tennis and cricket. We really didn't think this through.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
It's been in the news a lot this week. The Liberal Party Council voted to sell the ABC, and a lot of people are running around with their heads chopped off, guys.
So, well, that's right. I mean, you know, ABC, look, sell it, I say.
Yeah.
It's got to be worth it. I mean, it's going to be worth at least $3.50, doesn't
it?
Yeah.
That could be the problem with the idea of selling it off. Who's going to buy it? Who would pay for it?
I'd buy it.
Would you take it if it was $3.50?
$3.50. Yeah,
it's a handy thing to have. You'd have it in your basement or something. Wouldn't you just have Lee Sales and Annabelle Crabb down in your basement and they could just, you know.
And if you needed to contact farmers, you know, who listen to the radio a lot in country areas, you'd be able to contact them very easily.
I like it. You're trying so hard.
Remember to plant your tomatoes.
You guys are trying so hard to say nice things about the organisation that you've both worked for quite a lot of your life.
I hate them. I hate them.
Yeah, look, I've got some issues. But look, everyone is talking about this. The idea that the ABC could suddenly just get sold off. It's a live thing. It's being discussed. Everyone's got an opinion.
Here's what they said about selling the ABC. Michelle Guthrie, ABC boss, in theory.
It'll still be your ABC, powered by Telstra Mobile with thanks to Hungry Jack's.
James Withers, CEO, Easy Soak Incontinence Pads.
Would we advertise on the ABC? You kidding? It's a better way to reach doddery old farts than Alan Jones.
Malcolm Turnbull, investment wanker.
Let me be plain, the government will never sell the ABC unless Rupert Murdoch wants to buy it.
Mr. Squiggle, man from the moon.
If you just turn my drawing upside down, Miss Jane, it's the new Nissan Pathfinder.
Tony Jones, Q&A presenter and Silver Fox.
I'll take that as a comment thanks to our friends at Cochlear Hearing Aids.
Peppa Pig, child star.
This episode is sponsored by Don Smallgoods Premium Bacon. Mummy, what's bacon?
The Poo Jogger.
Oh, God, you're still putting me in all your sketches? I'm so 2 weeks ago. Well, while I'm here...
Andrea Tam, head of streaming, Optus.
We'll buy all of the ABC's programs and stream them all at once. It'll work fine. We won't even bother testing.
That's what they said.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Now, you guys, you might want to just check your Scotch whiskey and your tequila if you've bought any recently. Mm. Just bite into it. Make sure it's not fake because it's in the news that there's fake Scotch and fake tequila being sold in bottle shops.
That is outrageous.
I don't know if you knew this. I didn't know this until I read the news. But apparently, you know, Scotch whiskey is meant to come from Scotland. That's what it's called, Scotch. Yeah. And tequila is meant to come from Mexico. You know, you're not meant to be allowed. You're actually not allowed to make it here, but a company has been found making it here. They're called Lakino Brothers. And they've been making whiskey and tequila in Orange, right, in New South Wales. But the label on their whiskey, which is called Black Scotch Whiskey, and the label says product of Scotland.
Oh, no.
Even though it's been actually made in Orange. The funnier still, they were actually they were found to have pleaded guilty to making fake Scotch back in 2007. But apparently still doing it now. Look, you know, just take care. You know, just be warned. You've been warned. Mm. And if you do go into one of these shops, you might want to be asking some pretty serious questions because scientists have tested this stuff and it doesn't stack up.
Hi, welcome to Lakino, recently renamed McTavish McGinty McDonald McSquirters Authentic Genuine 100% Real Scotch Whiskey Shop.
Hi, I bought this whiskey from your store last week. Is this real Scotch whiskey from Scotland?
Yes, I mean,
It's just, I'm a scientist and it doesn't have the chemistry of a true Scotch.
Oh, you're mistaken, laddie. That whiskey is as Scottish as a McDonald's restaurant.
McDonald's restaurants aren't Scotty.
The Haggis restaurant in Glasgow, owned by Jock McDonald, is.
Okay, but I put it to you that this whiskey is not from Scotland.
Aye, it is. We brew it right here in Edinburgh.
We're in Orange.
Okay, granted. But all of our distillers are Scottish lads and lassies from the Highlands.
You aren't?
I am too. Listen to my accent.
But I went to school with you. You're from Orange.
I am not from Orange, mate. I am not from Orange, my bonny lad.
Well, I want a full refund immediately.
Oh, very well then, okay. You know, but first, like, before I give you a refund...
Could I interest you in our genuine tequila, senor? He's made right here in Guadalajara.
Oh, how exotic. I'll take a dozen.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Let's talk about Telstra. Huge news. Yes.
Huge news. Telstra's just announced that they're going to cut 8,000 jobs. Meaning that I think there's going to be one person left at Telstra.
Well, it's about time because they've been so reliable recently that I think a lot of staff they can shed.
I had no idea that there were 8,000. Yeah. Like, what do you do at Telstra? Like,
well, certainly none of them are installing the NBN right now. Like, can we rely on the 8,000 figure? Because you know when Telstra tells you they'll turn up at 9 and it's always like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Is this 8,000 figure reliable?
Yeah, no, I think it's very unreliable.
Well, I assume when Telstra fires you, it takes weeks and weeks for it to actually take effect, and then there's a problem. You've got to go back to the HR manager.
That is true. It's actually going to take till 2022 to get through all the firings, apparently.
Is that right? Yeah.
Right. Will they all be on hold for that whole time, waiting for bad music?
Well, these are local jobs, because, you know, like the joke about Telstra is that it's all call centres in India and that kind of thing, but these are the remaining 8,000 Australians who work for the company.
And the problem is that what's going to happen is all these Telstra employees are going to be out on the workforce, you know, looking for new jobs.
Hi, I'd like to apply for this job.
Certainly, sir. Take a seat. What are your qualifications?
Well, I used to work at Telstra, so I'm very good at not answering the phone.
Pardon?
I can sit and listen to a phone ring for hours at a time and not even get the slightest urge to answer it. It's quite a skill.
But why would we want that?
Well, it could be someone ringing to complain. Usually is, actually. Back at Telstra, you used to get hundreds of complaints a day, mostly about the fact that we never answered the phone. That was the main thing people would call us about, actually.
Any other skills?
Well, I'm very good at bringing a communications network to its knees.
That sounds terrible.
Oh, yes. If you're wanting someone who knows how to completely prevent millions of people from accessing the service they've paid for, I'm your man.
I see.
So, I haven't got the job, have I? I knew I shouldn't have been so honest.
No, you're hired.
Really?
Yes, you're perfect for the job. Welcome to Optus.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
The French. Now, they've gone on strike again.
racist shorthand.
It's great. But this time, it's not just a sort of job that doesn't matter much, like, you know, tyre makers or cooks or something. It's the air traffic controllers. This report has
come out. Don't you? Don't you need air traffic controllers?
Apparently not. Apparently, according to the figures, the airstrike controllers during this period were on strike for 254 days. And in second place was Greece with just 46 days.
They're not trying. They're just not trying.
Well, they can do better, these French. You know, they're not on strike often enough. But look, I've flown a few French aeroplanes, and these figures, they actually don't surprise me.
Bonjour, this is your captain speaking. Welcome to Air Français. Please ensure your seatbelt is fastened. Also, this flight has no seatbelts, as all our seatbelts have gone on strike. Your life jacket is located at home, having gone on strike as well.
This flight sucks.
Today, we are pleased to offer you a superb three-course Michelin-star dinner.
Oh, that sounds an improvement.
Except the chef has gone on strike.
Oh, crap.
I am pleased to say I have also decided to go on strike.
What? But you're the pilot!
Don't worry, my co-pilot is not on strike.
Oh, phew!
He's off having sex with his mistress.
Oh, for God's bloody hell! French Airlines.
D'accord, I shall now jump out of the plane and switch on the autopilot to complete the flight.
This is terrible!
Oh, I've just been informed the autopilot is on strike.
That's it! Open this cockpit! One of us passengers is going to fly the plane ourselves!
Pardon, monsieur? Fly the plane? Are you some kind of strike breaker scab?
I don't want us to crash!
You should be guillotined for your work ethic! Au revoir!
Ah, well, still better service than Tiger Airways.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
We talked about the plastic bag ban that's coming in, Woolies, Coles in a couple of days. What we miss about the plastic bags we've used for years? We've got some facts for you.
Fact that's amazing.
Facts. Plastic takes 1,000 years to fully degrade, unlike Love Island contestants who are fully degraded within minutes of appearing.
Fact.
Is a fact. All the plastic in the world that Woolworths will no longer be using will now find a home on Sam Newman's face.
Great big fact.
In the new series of Twin Peaks, somebody says she's dead, wrapped in an eco-friendly biodegradable bamboo bag.
That's a fact.
As Andrew mentioned, it takes 1,000 years for one plastic bag to biodegrade, so do not store anything valuable in a plastic bag that you want to keep safe for more than 1,000 years.
Probably a fact.
Is a fact. Thousands of birds and marine animals die every week from eating plastic because they're all so bloody greedy.
Great big fact.
And a follow-up fact. Today's announcement means that more than 10,000 Australian waterways and river systems will no longer be polluted by plastic bags. They'll now be polluted by abandoned shopping trolleys instead.
That's a fact.
Yes, and of course, instead of choking on our discarded free supermarket shopping bags, dolphins will now choke on those green reusable bags.
Hey. Great big fact.
Without plastic bags, Craig Rucastle would have to spend a lot more time with his family.
That's true. Andrew Hansen.
In fact, the Great Pacific Garbage Batch is the size of Queensland because it is Queensland.
Great big fact.
You mentioned Craig Rucastle, our chaser colleague. He's actually made a statement today. He said today's move doesn't necessarily bring an end to his war on waste. He does still want to wage a war on his wasted career making earnest environmental documentaries.
Fact.
That's actually true. Customers who enjoy damaging the environment while they shop are now storing their groceries inside the carcasses of dead dolphins. You know what? You can fit a lot in.
That's a fact.
And finally, the world uses 5 trillion plastic bags a year, and Dom doesn't use a single one of them to pick up after his dog.
That's so unfair.
Fact.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Radio Chaser with you. Do not touch your dial.
Cat's pajamas or cat's piss.
Yeah, stories from the news. Chris, Charles and Andrew, are they cat's pyjamas or cat's piss? This, of course, is from the US. A man with a gun tattooed on his face. So between his eyes, a big tattoo of a gun, has been arrested for unlawful possession of a firearm.
He was banned from
having them. But apparently because of the tattoo, police keep stopping him. Is it cat's pyjamas or cat's piss to profile someone based on the massive tattoo of a firearm? In this case, he did actually have a firearm, but I think it's an interesting dilemma for police policy.
Yeah.
Cat's piss, I reckon. Cat's piss. I mean, look, you know, do they pull over people with Chinese characters tattooed on them on suspicion that they're carrying a Chinese character in their handbag?
Or no. On suspicion that they're wankers?
Or on suspicion that they're Chinese?
No, I mean, it's not fair.
So
not
he didn't actually have a gun on him. He's just got a gun tattooed to his forehead. No, as it happened, he did have a gun on him as well.
Okay.
And he threw it away, a loaded
38 to threw into the grass, and he was he's federally prohibited from possessing a gun.
But look, how do we? Well, we might not have seen the full picture because if you look at the photos, they're only a headshot. Mm. He might also have a tattoo on his foot of himself shooting himself in the foot.
Sure, he does now.
All right, and now I do love that story. Sainsbury's in the UK. See what you think of this as a product. They have launched an alcoholic gin ice cream. It's only 66 calories. It's very popular.
I didn't even need to know the calorie count. It was cat's pajamas just when you said gin ice cream. What?
Gin and tonic ice cream.
Brilliant. Yeah. I mean, it's like someone's found out ice cream isn't awesome enough already.
Yeah.
You need to add booze to it and double down on the awesomeness. Oh, yeah. I mean, cat's pajamas.
But well, in the middle of winter, because in the UK, this is the middle of summer, although I suppose that's the same as our winter.
Well, get a hot toddy ice cream. So, you know, like an Irish whiskey Magnum. Or something that explodes with an eruption of hot whiskey when you bite into it.
You're excited, aren't you? Andrew, you're a bit of an ice cream connoisseur. You mix your own. Are you into this idea?
Yeah, I love ice cream, but I was disappointed when you mentioned the calories. A low-calorie ice cream always tastes awful. So I assume the gin must be to make up for the fact that you got such an awful low-fat ice cream that you're having to eat.
Is the stick alcoholic as well?
Oh, no, it comes in a tub.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so you can
so it's like a vat. Literally get a, like, you know, like you tap tub. A beer keg, you can just tap a whole thick keg of ice cream.
Get slaughtered.
Well, I think that's how the Queen eats it. Yeah.
She gets munted on the gin ice cream every evening.
Actually, I can imagine the Queen, if you tried to give this to her, she'd be like, what's the ice cream doing?
Yeah.
Why are you messing with the gin?
Calippo should always have gin.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.